Welcome to PCB Chat. I'm Mike Buto, editor of Printed Circuit Design and Fab and Circuits Assembly. Our sponsor today is PCB West, the leading trade show for electronics design, fabrication, and assembly, coming this September to the Santa Clara, California Convention Center. Learn more at PCBWest.com. Z0 is the newest entrant in the EDA field. The company this year rolled out its first products, software programs for PCB stackup and planning, and material selection. Our guest today on PCB Chat is Z0 founder and director of everything, Bill Hargan. Bill is certainly well known to the design industry. He spent most of the years from 1997 to 2011 working for PADS, Hyperlinx, and then Mentor in sales, business development, and product management. After a short stint at InCircuit Design, he spent nearly 5 years at Nanya as North American Director of Sales and Marketing for its laminates division. He has presented an untold number of workshops on high-speed design and material selection over the years. Bill, welcome to PCB Chat.
Thanks, Mike.
Bill, there's a number of solutions on the market for stackups. What motivated you to develop your own tool?
That would probably, of any question you could ask me, that would probably be the one that would potentially have the longest response. As you kind of mentioned, actually it goes back to 1995 is when I started with Hyperlinx. And, of course, you know, from roughly 95 to most of the time through 2011, I was focused on signal integrity, but It always concerned me during that time that, and it still does to this day, that the stackup was sort of, I felt, treated as kind of a second order effect. And if you, in signal integrity, so if you think about it, the stackup touches how many signals, how many transmission lines on a board, every single one of them. And yet, I would say if you told me that there was a planet that would spend 40 to 60 hours designing a PCB and maybe 40 hours or 30 hours simulating signal integrity and troubleshooting, call it 40 hours, and yet the same people doing that would only spend about, they would delegate the stack up that touches all those signals to a PCB fabricator, you know, maybe in another country, maybe who doesn't have an engineering degree and probably isn't going to get fired if the board doesn't work. And you told me that those guys that were going to do hundreds of hours of effort to design a board, and yet we're going to delegate the stack up that touches everything to, you know, to some guy overseas, who, you know, has a limited stake in the game. I just said, I wouldn't have believed you that existed. But that is the way it is today, more often than not. I would say more than 99% of the time. And it absolutely makes zero sense to me. So that's part of the backdrop. The other part of it that I would say, going back to the mid-90s, Lee Ritchie was the only guy in the industry. And I would say, he's still, you know, one of the only guys in the industry that talks about dielectric properties in detail. And he would go to PCB West and back then PCB East, and he would teach about stackup design and material selection. So I met Lee at that time, and we began to talk, you know, in the context of Hyperlinx and what he was doing. When I looked at his presentations and educational materials, I've since read just about everything he's written. He's got a couple of books out there. He was the only guy at the time talking about frequency, resin content, and all of these issues as they relate to dielectric properties that go in a stackup. Everybody else was calling it FR4. Oh, it's FR4. What are you using? FR4. As if that was a monolithic thing, like FR4. Oh, that's the answer. So after reading a bunch of Lee Ritchie's stuff, I'm in a meeting with the Hyperlinx team, the engineering team, and, you know, wrote up on the whiteboard FR4. what's the relative permittivity? Well, at that time, we were just mainly talking about relative permittivity. This would have been 1997. We weren't talking as much about loss tangent. We did, but it wasn't the main thing at that time. I said, so what's the relative permittivity of FR4? And somebody says 4.1, somebody says 4.3. And I said, well, Lee Ritchie says it depends upon frequency and resin content. And so at that point, you know, how many years ago is that? 21 years ago, I started looking into this more and more. And I always wanted to steer our Hyperlinks product line in that direction. But, you know, we had so many other things to focus on, ranging from crosstalk to DDR simulation to power integrity and now 3D modeling, that we never really got around to it. So when I left Mentor, I really wanted to focus on developing a tool that would do all this. And the cool thing is, I didn't plan it this way, but in the process of wanting to do that, I ended up going from working for a signal integrity software tool, Hyperlinks, to working for a laminate manufacturer, Nanya, as you said earlier. So now I've got, you know, roughly 18 to 20 years on the signal integrity side, and now 5 years on the laminate side, two basically opposite ends of the swimming pool. That's really been valuable to me. So why did I develop the Z0 software, Z Planner, and Field Solver Sandbox? When I've looked at other tools in this space, including everything, you know, I won't name the names, but everything I've looked at didn't solve the complete problem the way that I would do it. And rather than just sit there like a Monday morning quarterback in my armchair thinking, oh, they don't do it right, I thought, I know how to do it. And I kind of pushed the chips to the middle of the table, and I said, I'm going to do it. I've always wanted to have my own company. Here's a niche that I felt was underserved. Here I go.
So Z0 was really the culmination of a lot of direct experience in confronting industry problems and perhaps industry lack of knowledge then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm literally amazed at how few people, let's say, that are concerned about signal integrity know about this particular space or problem that works against the signal quality of every signal on their board. I would venture to say that almost everybody that I know that are doing signal integrity analysis are doing so missing about 20 to 25% of the data they need to make their simulations accurate. You get away with that if you have margins. If you have sufficient margins, you can get away with that. But if you're trying to get down to millivolts and picoseconds at these really, really higher speeds, I think fewer and fewer people are going to be getting away with that type of uncertainty as we continue to move forward.
And the name Z0, it's a good pun.
Well, to you, it might be a pun. I mean, to me, it means impedance.
Yep.
Z-0 is impedance in our world. But ZZ Top is the official band of Z0, is playing here in Seattle, about 10 minutes from my house in about 4 days. I was thinking of grabbing tickets. They are our official band, after all.
It's good to know.
They only have 3 songs that I know, though, and so they're our official band, but I know 3 of their songs. That's it.
That's great. So, as you mentioned, your first two products are Z-Planner and the Field Solver Sandbox. What are some of the features and the results that users can get from each?
To avoid a really long answer to that, I would say this. I've taken roughly 25 years of experience that spans from, you know, board level signal integrity simulation all the way to, you know, working for a laminate and copper foil and glass manufacturer. Nanya is vertically integrated for all those things. So combining that 25 years of experience, I'm putting it all of that into a software tool. If I get an idea, it turns into software. And I've got 25 years of ideas and experience. that's the shortest way to say it. So one of the things, for example, if you need to do loss planning, detailed loss planning as it relates to the SAC up, that's in there. Somebody says it would be nice if you could plan impedance and loss at the same time. That's in there. It would be nice if it also addressed copper roughness and glass weave skew. That's in there. Does it address laminate side copper roughness and prepreg side copper roughness on the process side that the fabricator handles? Yes, it does all of that. So if I know of a problem that touches a PCB stack up for high speed design, those features end up in the product. And I just felt that, you know, since I know the solution space here, I know the kind of the end to end problem, and I know how the software I want to be, or how I want the software to be rather, just develop it, you know, pay to develop it myself. And that's what we've done. In addition to that, interfaces to major formats that people care about. We currently have interfaces to hyperlinks bidirectionally, various Excel formats, IPC 2581, ODB++, and others that we'll be developing in the near future for interfacing with other signal integrity tools, et cetera.
And just so that listeners are clear, Zplanner is a field solver-based PCB stack-up planning and materials tool that's optimized for engineering teams, whereas the Field Solver Sandbox is for impedance and insertion loss, correct?
Yeah, both of them, at some level, both of them do the same analysis. It's a matter of the GUI. The Field Solver Sandbox is intended to be a place that, I'll give you a good example. Somebody posted somebody on the SI list, actually it was an SI consultant in Europe, posted a question on the SI list. It was from an application note. I won't say whose application note it was, but when I looked at the application note, it just made no sense at all. You know, I used both Zplanner and Field Solver Sandbox in sort of answering all the questions, which to me was a fun little project. I might even use that at my PCB West class as a good example of let's analyze this problem that somebody threw out. So the application note had NELCO, you know, 4000-13 SI material, and it used a loss tangent numbers or dissipation factor numbers that were totally wrong. So I looked at the Zplanner library and I said, well, it looks like the numbers they're using in the app note are incorrect. And then I looked at the NELCO website and I confirmed, yes, those numbers are incorrect. So that was one question that I needed to resolve. Then I went to Field Solver Sandbox and he was saying, is MicroStrip going to have, according to the app note, half the loss of a strip line? And it turned out that the solder mask numbers were wrong. Whatever went into the simulation was, or the app note, were pretty far off, and in fact by 2-to-1 on the on the strip lines. So it said that a strip line has half the loss of a microstrip in, you know, probably 10 minutes using Field Solver Sandbox. I showed that was totally incorrect. They have similar loss when you account for everything: copper plating, copper roughness, dielectric thickness, all the issues that go into calculating impedance and loss. Field Solver Sandbox is a tool where an engineer can very quickly analyze a PCB cross section, and then Stack-Up Planner is more like what you would do when you're, you know, here's a board I'm intending to build, whether in prototype or volume production. So one is for getting analytical answers, the other one is for building circuit boards. Sorry for the long answer. I only give long answers.
As one of my mentors once said, short answers are overrated.
Good. I'm going to use that. I'm going to write that down.
So while a new company, you aren't exactly starting from scratch. As you mentioned, you're partnering with Mentor and others. What was in it for them?
I think at some level, you know, a lot of things come down to relationships and respect. You know, if you think about it, in 25 years, I've worked with a lot of people. And I've collected a lot of good relationships over that time and trust. Part of it is the who you know thing. The other part of it is I really think that I'm in an underserved space. There are a lot of laminate manufacturers out there that I consider partners, not just the one that I worked for 5 years. There's a lot of people on the playing field. There's a lot of people in EDA, and there are a lot of PCB fabricators. I've worked with all three of those groups, right? And it's thousands of people when you add all that up. Between the EDA market, the PCB fab market, and the CCL market, and even extending into glass manufacturers and foil manufacturers, you know, we're talking about thousands of people, you know, tens of thousands of people, in fact. But there are only, to my count, you know, if you include Z0, to my count, there are about three companies dealing with stack-up design. So it's kind of natural for all those partners and players to want to work with, you know, one of the three in the space that I'm working in. Typically, I reach out to them. More often than not, people are happy to work with me.
Now, even though your company has been around for less than a year, I know that you've designed the tools to make them very easy to use out of the box. That said, how will you address users who do need help with the software?
I think that's a really good question. I plan to follow the approach that we took with hyperlinks in the early days. And I'm talking going back to, I'm trying to think when our first support guy came on board at hyperlinks. I'm going to say 1999. So between like full-time support guy, between 1995, when I was doing sales and marketing for hyperlinks, and we had some of the founding engineer guys working to develop the software, we worked 4 years supporting the software ourselves. Me as kind of a front line, and then the development staff for, you know, more complicated issues for, you know, a good 4 years as we ramped up. We'll probably do the same thing with Z0. I've already talked to a few support engineering candidates, but the way I see it now, until that problem gets out of hand, me and the development staff will be supporting people via phone and email. I give customers, at least in this time frame, until we've got a full-blown support staff, I give users actually my cell number, believe it or not. I turn my phone off when I sleep. Sounds crazy, but that's kind of how I work. If you're designing a board and you have an issue and you're in some sort of a dialogue with your fabricator, I can typically, because I know the tool and I know the issues that customers are dealing with, I can typically resolve things pretty quickly. For now, that's the plan until we ramp up. And, you know, this is all like bootstrap funding. I didn't go out for angel investors or VC money. I did this all out of my own pocket, you know, as far as funding the startup of the company. And we intend to scale organically in terms of headcount. So I'm talking to support engineers, but, you know, I don't know if I'm going to bring one aboard in the next 6 months. It just kind of depends on what the needs are.
Well, I'm glad to hear that not that you turn off your phone, but that you actually sleep, because I know that how hard you've been working on this for the last couple of years, and I wasn't really sure you were actually taking any breaks there.
Well, I'm looking forward to a day when I don't work as many hours and I take more vacations and, you know, have more personal time and family time. You know, I like to ride my bike. I like to play racquetball, tennis, pickleball, all kinds of stuff that I like to do. It's, you know, when you're in the midst of starting a company, you have to push some of that aside. So, but I do sleep. I place a high premium on sleep. In fact, this little podcast is cutting into my afternoon nap. I'm kidding.
My apologies. Yep. So finally, Bill, you are speaking at PCB West this year. Tell us a bit about your workshop.
Yeah, the workshop is PCB stack-up planning and material selection. And again, I think this is a field that has had one voice crying in the wilderness for the last 20 years, and that's Lee Ritchie. I've studied everything Lee has written on the subject. He happens to be a good friend of mine. And I'm, you know, in some ways picking up the baton from him, I would say. A couple of things that I plan to emphasize this year. I've talked about these issues quite a bit in previous PCB West. Glass weave skew is always a popular subject in this class. I plan to make sure that I emphasize loss planning, that I think not everybody has a really crystal clear handle on. And so probably those two subjects I'll emphasize a little bit more this year than in times past. I've done a lot of research on glass weave skew, both in terms of, you know, fundamental research with test boards and all that, working with Dr. Eric Bogatin, but also just researching what a lot of other people have done, Scott McMurrow, Jeff Lawyer, and other people. And so anyway, we'll be hitting those two subjects hard this year.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And for those who are interested, Bill's presentation takes place on Tuesday, September 11th from 9 to 5. I want to thank our guest, Bill Hargan of Z0, for coming on to PCB Chat today. And I want to thank our sponsor, PCB West, the leading trade show for electronics design, fabrication, and assembly, coming this September to the Silicon Valley. The URL, again, is PCBWest.com. Bill, thanks much for coming and talking with us.
Awesome. Good chatting with you, Mike. Look forward to seeing you guys in a month or so.
Okay. And for everybody else, this has been PCB Chat with Mike Buto. Have a nice day.